Week Wednesday. Evan Bray, good morning. It's great to have you here as we start our day with a pretty big announcement coming from NATO this morning on defense spending. The Canadian Prime Minister, Mark Carney, has officially agreed to the 5% GDP commitment that the rest of NATO is looking to as well. What does that look like for Canada? Do you support this decision? We'll dig into that coming up in a second when we open up phone lines for you. Hey, something else that we've been following every year. Last night, the Teddy Waste Awards presented live in Calgary, Alberta. The Canadian Taxpayers Federation have a little bit of fun with this, but really, they go to the worst and funniest examples of government waste uncovered during the past year. So we've got Franco Terrazano coming on from the Canadian Taxpayers Federation to talk a little bit about that. Canada Day is just around the corner. Where's your Canadian pride at? On a scale of 1 to 10, where would you rate your Canadian pride? What factors into how you feel about this country and your pride in this country? We'll talk about that this morning. Saskatchewan's smartest radio listener coming up at 11 o'clock. We got a busy one. Let's get going.
Let's get down to business, shall we? Welcome.
Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show, the big talker.
Well, we've been following this really closely for actually quite some time. In fact, it was shortly after Donald Trump took over as president in the United States, where I would suggest the heat turned up on the discussion of defense spending and how much money our country allocates towards defense. We know that that NATO target of 2% was one that we were woefully behind on. Somewhere between 1.37 and 1.5% is where Canada was at. Recently, just after the election, Prime Minister Mark Carney announced that they will achieve the 2% mark in this fiscal year. And no sooner do those words come out of his mouth than the goalposts move, and now NATO is looking at 5%. And just this morning, moments before I came on air, Mark Carney makes the announcement that Canada will commit to 5% GDP going to defense spending. As we unravel all of this, I'm very happy to have my first guest today joining us. We've had Major Mark Dauphin join us before. In fact, it was about a year ago this time that the Major joined us on the show. He's a decorated Canadian Armed Forces veteran. He's a former emergency room doctor, and we have Major Mark Dauphin joining me by phone this morning. Mark, thank you so much for taking the call.
Hi, good morning, Saskatoon.
Well, you got the whole province today, Mark. So we're glad to have you here. We talked about this with you last time you were on the show, but your career is impressive. You spent 8 years Reg Forces. Then you go 26 as a reservist while you're working as a doctor, and then you go back to do 5 more Reg Forces. Can you walk us through your career and the decisions you made?
Sure. When I was 19, I was in second year of med school, and I was running out of money. Maybe about half a dozen people in my class were joining up in the Canadian Armed Forces. And they paid you a salary, second lieutenant salary, and they paid your tuition, and they paid your school books and stuff, and you had the free dental care and eye care, so that was cool. So I decided, yeah, I'll sign up, and it was they paid you for 4 years, and then you had to serve 3 years, and so I was happy to sign up, and I figured, hell, I can put up with 3 years of misery in the Army or wherever they send me. And to my great surprise, when I graduated, I fell in love with the Canadian Forces. Mm-hmm. It was a great place to work. You could do, I have ADHD, and plus I'm immature. So my wife says that since I retired, my mental age has gone up to about 10 years old. So you can imagine what it was like, for a kid just playing with all those big trucks and big ships and flying in jet planes. It was fun.
Yeah.
So I loved every second of it.
I can imagine. I'm curious to know what was more difficult, the move, because you did both, the move from a public hospital to a military hospital or vice versa?
Vice versa. In a military hospital, well, there's two kinds of military hospitals. There's a military hospital in garrison or in peacetime, and there's a military hospital in a war zone. Now, a military hospital in a war zone or in wartime is great because you have everything you want. You have everything you need plus everything you want. And so that was great. It was fantastic. You get support from, you know, the Canadian forces, they're sort of on idle all the time. And then when war happens, they put it in drive. And, man, do they put the metal to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
They did that in 1914. They did that in 1939. They did it in 1950. And they did it in 2001 when we went over to Afghanistan. So being in the Canadian forces when the pedal is to the metal is absolutely great. You don't lack for anything. So that was great.
It's interesting. I know you wrote a book called Combat Doctor, Life and Death Stories from Kandahar's Military Hospital. You were, in fact, in charge of that hospital, which I remember the Surgeon General referred to at the time as the busiest trauma center in the world. So what you're telling us is that in the middle of a war like that, there's no problem with getting supplies, the tools, the equipment that you need.
That is absolutely correct. Whatever you need, you get. So that's Canada's mentality. And as soon as the war is over, we completely dismantle everything we built during the war, and we go back to our peacetime stuff. That's Canada. And it's our nature. It's our way of being. And, you know, in 1939, when we went to war, we only had 3 infantry battalions. That was our whole army. And so, and we had just bought third hand a bunch of little tankettes, 2-man tanks from World War One, French tanks from World War One, but we had bought them from the U.S. who had decided to get rid of them. So this is Canada on the eve of a war. We're always, you know, the whole armed forces are just down to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly we build them up really, really fast because Canadians are patriotic. And not only are they patriotic, but they get aggravated. When they get aggravated, they get mad and they do something.
Right.
So, yeah.
So that's... I'm curious to know, the last time we chatted, which was about a year ago, we were commiserating on the lack of priority that the Canadian government places on defense spending. With this announcement this morning that they're going to strive to hit 5% GDP in the next decade, do you trust the tide is changing on that conversation, Mark?
I honestly don't know. Mr. Carney, to me, is an unknown quantity. He might be the real McCoy, or he might be just another liar like Justin. I sincerely don't know. But his past, they always say that the past is the best predictor of future behavior. So his past behavior as government of the Bank of Canada and governor of the Bank of England, well, that certainly speaks in his favor of being a serious fellow. Who doesn't speak for nothing, because generally governors of national banks are not prone to saying anything that comes off the top of their head, because whatever word they say will influence, you know, the markets and economical decisions and so on. So, yeah, I tend to trust the guy up to now.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. When the rubber hits the road. Major Mark Dauphin is my guest.
Yep.
So NATO has been critical of Canada's funding model for the military. We just this year agreed to hit the 2% NATO target. Now this morning, they've changed the goalposts officially, and it looks like Canada has signed on to the 5%. I'm curious to know your thoughts. Is this more than just a change in budgeting? Does this require a mindset change towards the military for Canada as well?
Evan, you don't need me on the show. You figured it all out, I think. It does completely require a complete change of your mindset. I don't think we've ever spent 5% of GDP since World War II. I haven't had time to check the figures because I was expecting, honestly, that people would go with the 3.5%. That a lot of countries were talking about it and not jump straight to the 5%. But, you know, Mr. Trump gave us a hint about it yesterday when he said that we were all going to spend 5%, so it probably had been agreed upon beforehand. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's a lot of money, you know. We're talking about almost three times what we're spending right now. Mm-hmm. So
It's going to be, I mean, it's $150 billion a year is what Prime Minister Carney has said it will be. You mentioned Donald Trump, the U.S. president. He has highlighted, I would say, quite consistently and loudly the shortcomings of the Canadian military on the world stage, basically accusing Canada of not funding our military properly because we always knew the U.S. would be there to protect us. Do you think that was true?
Evan? This is the thing about dictators and populists. A lot of what they say is true, but it is not the truth. So,
explain what you mean there.
Okay, I'm an ER doc. Most of my life was spent in the ER. So let's say it's Saturday night and we get a gangbanger who comes in with a couple of bullet holes in him and, let's say he's conscious, and I ask, what the hell happened to you? And he said, I don't know, man. I was just standing on the corner minding my own business, and then some car drove by with people that I don't know, and the first thing I know, I'm here full of bullet holes. Well, what he told me was true, but it's not the truth. The truth is that, I don't know, last week or something, he and his buddies went out and to another neighborhood and shot the place up. But it's true that he doesn't know the individuals who shot him tonight. It's also true that he was minding his own business when he got shot. But you see, it's not the truth. Yeah. So what Mr. Trump doesn't say is the truth. The truth is that every time there's a war, Canada punches way above its weight. Canada puts it all in, and it always manages to influence the war way more than its population or its size would warrant. Mm-hmm. So that's the truth. And in peacetime, I just said, we completely dismantle everything and forget about the whole thing, except that now, with modern armaments at the speed that modern wars can happen, I mean, you just had a war between Israel and Iran, and it didn't last 2 weeks, mm-hmm. you know. So at the speed that events go, it's better to prepare beforehand.
Changing landscape, for sure.
Yep, so we're changing our mentality, and we're getting ready for World War III or IV or V or whatever it is now. So it's complete change of mindset.
Major Mark Duffin is my guest. Just before I let you go, from a recruiting standpoint, we're going to have to fill a ton of positions, including current vacancies, and then the growth that we need to see in the Canadian Armed Forces, especially with this 5% GDP commitment. From a recruiting standpoint, can we do it? Can we fill these positions?
Oh, certainly. We put, you know, in 1914, Canada had a population of 8 million people, which is less than the population of Quebec, you know. So, and we put 660,000 people in uniform over the course of 4 years. So now with a population of 41, 42 million, I don't know, it's Justin Trudeau's open border policy, numbers just kept changing by the minute. But let's say we're 41 or 42 million. It's five times as much as 1914. That would mean that we would put in, you know, a five times 660,000 people in uniform. So that's, you know, it's a huge number. It's like it's 33 million and a half, 4 million people in uniform. And it's not how much we're going to need with this 5%. So we can do it easily.
Major Mark Duffin has been my guest. I'm going to be later in the show, just under a week away from Canada Day, asking people on a scale of 1 to 10 to rate their Canadian pride. We don't have much time left, under 30 seconds. Where would you rate yours, Major?
Well, definitely higher than when Justin the Fool was our Prime Minister. That's for sure. I've always been a Quebecer first and a Canadian second. I'm sorry to insult people, but that's the way I've always been. But I'm very proud now, and the flag that I would that I had Velcroed on my sleeve when I was in Afghanistan, risking my life, was Canada's flag. So I've played for that team, and I will still play for that team. And as long as we're in Canada, I'm going to be Canadian.
Appreciate your time as always, Mark. Thanks for taking the call this morning.
You're welcome. Bye-bye, Evan.
Major Mark Duffin, a highly decorated Canadian Armed Forces veteran, former emergency room doctor and author. Again, his book, Combat Doctor. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.